You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
On this Mother's Day, that we're in kind of a strange little bit of a time, that you're in your house right now, your condo, your apartment, whatever stage of life you're in or wherever you are, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. As we've been going along, we're going to look at a couple verses on thinking about this Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a big deal. We've been playing games around the house like you've been playing games probably. So we played Uno. We've played all sorts of games. We've had a great time. One of the games that we played was Monopoly, but we played a different version of Monopoly. It was the Hallmark Channel version of Monopoly. So it's a little sappier than normal Monopoly. And instead of the normal cards that you get where you land on a certain thing and you have to get the cards, this is what one of them said on the family section. And I thought this would kind of illustrate how important moms are, okay? So here's what it is. It says this: you forgot your mom's birthday, go to jail, directly to jail. Do not pass go and do not collect $200. So we know how important moms are, and we know by another card the pressure that is on moms, because here's the other one. It said, you donated store-bought cookies to the bake sale, go to jail. Directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not pass. Do not collect $200. So, mom, there's pressure on you because store-bought cookies may send you to jail in this game. But at the same time, there's pressure on the rest of us to realize the importance of mom. That mom is absolutely key, or we're going to go to jail if we forget your birthday in those things. So Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to be. We're on Mother's Day right now. Let me give you a thought of where we're headed, where we're going. Next week, we are going to have the Lord's Supper in our worship service. We'll still be online, so we want you to get ready, get prepared. We did that at Broken for You before Easter, and it was so special to have it in our home. So we want to do that again. So this next Sunday coming up, you are going to have the opportunity, and I'll lead you through it, but we want you to be able to get your groceries ready for that time to have the Lord's Supper with your family or by yourself, or maybe you invite some friends over. That'd be great. Now that we're getting out of a little bit of this quarantine, we can have some folks over. Secondly, I want you to know, you're going to get in your inbox some information about where we're going a little bit longer term. May 31st, we're going to have at all of our campuses, and you'll get a lot more details about this, we're going to send you some information this week. We are going to have our first on-campus worship services. Now, I just want you to give a yay, way to go, all right, get celebrating about that. So May 31st, that's the day of Pentecost. That's 50 days after Easter. In Acts chapter 2, that's where the church was born. So we think that day is perfect for the church, in a sense, to be reborn. So be looking for that information. We'll have it on the website. We'll give you all the details. It's going to be amazing. Now, the bad news is that means you're eating in the middle of church is going to come to an end. That means you're going to the bathroom in the middle of my message to get up and to go to the bathroom or cook something for yourself. Not going to be able to do that. But we're going to get back together, and it's going to be so exciting. So that's where we're heading. But on this Mother's Day, I want you to see in Philippians chapter 4, Paul is going to give us 6 virtues that are great for a mom. These explain a mom. And at the same time, they're for all of us as believers in Christ. Now, here's what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Read along with me. Here's what it says. Chapter 4, verse 8. It says this: finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. I want you to particularly circle that word, ladies. Whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Now, that ending part, which says dwell in these things, I want you to understand what this is. Paul isn't just saying, well, flippantly think about it. He's not saying, well, if it comes up in your mind, if you're reminded of it, what it means to dwell on these things. He's saying, I want you to think in such a way that this changes the way you live. I want you to rearrange your thinking and rearrange your life around these things. It's not just a passing thought. Paul's saying, I want you to get your thinking on this track so that your thinking rearranges your life. So that as you think, so you are. that we could put our mind on these things. Now, here's where we've been going in Philippians chapter 4. A couple weeks ago, we talked about praying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving, make your request be known to God. Now we're talking about thinking. Think on these things, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is true. And then at the end, he's going to say of this little section, he's going to talk about living. Here's the connection I want you to make. Okay, you ready? Here it is. Right praying leads to right thinking, and it leads to right living. Right praying, right thinking, right living. That's what Philippians chapter 4 is about. I want you to say that at home with me. You ready? We're going to say it out loud together on the count of three. One, two, three. Right praying, right thinking, right living. Say it again. Right praying, right thinking, right living. If we will get about right praying two messages ago and giving our request to the Lord and having a relationship and a connection with Him, of giving Him our thanksgiving and our appreciation, that right praying is going to have the right thinking. Now, this right thinking, Paul's going to say, I want you to see these Christian virtues. And these are wonderfully seen in moms, absolutely seen in moms. Here's what they are, the right thinking of moms and man. Okay, so it's not just moms, it's mankind. So we're talking about in this next little section, I'm going to hit you with six words. So if you're taking notes, get ready to write. The right thinking of moms and the right thinking of man. How are you going to be a great mom? Thinking rightly. How are you going to be a great man, mankind, man, woman, whatever it is, kid, student, whatever. It's going to be through right thinking. Right praying leads to right thinking is what Paul's doing, and then it's going to lead to right living. Here is the first thing that he gives us. He says in verse 8, he says, finally, meaning he's wrapping up this book of the Bible, brothers and sisters, so this is men and women, whatever is true, whatever's true. Now, true is a tough thing for us in today's world, isn't it? Anything can be spun in different ways. I mean, what this person's saying on one channel, the other person will say the opposite on another channel. Which one is true? All these different things that we'll get, all this information, what's really true? Paul is saying, I want you to think about whatever is true. Now, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That His word is true and trustworthy. So He's saying, I want you to think on the things of God. I want you to get what's true. Not what's just true in the world, but do you and I understand what's true about ourselves? Moms, do you understand that you're a precious gift of God, that God loves you, that Jesus likes you? He wants to live inside you. He wants to live through you. It's true that you've been completely forgiven. It's true you'll never be perfect, but God has got you in His hand. He'll never leave you or forsake you. It is true. So many things we worry about that aren't true. They're not the real thing. We've got to remember that the Bible tells us that Satan is a liar in John chapter 8, verse 44. That he's a liar. That he wants to corrupt our minds in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. That we know in Genesis chapter 3 that he lied to Eve right there from the get-go. So we know that the enemy will lie to us. And whenever you can't figure out, well, is this a lie or is this true? Turn to God's word and turn to a trusted friend and allow them to say, you know, this is what I'm hearing. I'm feeling like I'm worthless. I'm feeling like I'm terrible. I'm feeling like I'm a failure. And your friend will be able to say, no, you're not. And the word of God will say, no, you're not. A man named Walter Cavert, he did a survey and he reported that 8% of the things that people worry about were legitimate concerns. 92% were either imaginary, never happened, or involved matters in which they had no control over. So let's not worry about all these things that are really not going to happen and aren't true. He begins with true. He then moves to honorable. He says, I want you to be honorable. Think about the things that are true. Think about whatever is honorable. This word means noble, dignified, respectful. It's actually used in the New Testament, pressure on me and my compadres, for ministers, that we're to be honorable people. That we're to be respectable, we're to be noble, we're to be dignified, we're to be able to have the honor of being able to declare the word of God. So I've said many times, I wanna live better than I preach, because preaching's one level, living's a whole different thing. That's where the rubber meets the road. God's saying to the moms, to the dads, to the kids, to the believer in Christ, I want you to think about things that are true, And I want you to think about things that are honorable because they're going to change and shape the way you live. It's going to shape how you live. I want this dwelling to reorganize, reorient, and rearrange the way that you think and the way that you live. Think about what is true. Think about what is honorable. You know, yesterday was an amazing day in our church in this very room. We had the memorial service for Officer Jason Knox, who was killed in the line of duty with the Houston Police Department. His parents go to our church. He was baptized here in our church as a little boy. He served at the HPD, and so we had the mayor here. We had the police chief, the fire chief. We had, the lieutenant governor, Dan Patrick. We had a lot of dignitaries, city council. Mike Knox, his dad, Jason's dad, is on the city council of Houston. And so we had in this room in which I'm speaking from right now to you, we had socially distanced police officers. We had a 21-gun salute. We had the biggest funeral that has happened in the United States of America in this COVID time. The first police officer funeral, and hopefully we the last, because we don't want any more officers to die in the line of duty, but to be able to have the first one in this COVID time. And I'm telling you, when I stood up here and I saw those men in their uniforms and women in their uniforms, and I heard people speak, and I watched the 21-gun salute, and I saw them fold the flag and hand it to the family, I was feet away from that. Let me tell you the word that came to my mind, honorable. Honorable. When the police chief, I gave the illustration weeks and weeks back, the police chief, as we had a cadet class graduation in our church, the police chief would look the cadets in the eye and he'd say, "Don't dishonor the badge." And Jason Knox honored the badge. He gave his life for us on duty, in the line of duty. Honorable. Pop, chuk, pop, bam. It means something. Not that we have to be police officers or military officers, that's not what I'm saying, but let's live an honorable life. And moms, you do such a great job with that. 3 out of 6, just. He says, I want you to think about what is true. I want you to think about what is honorable. And I want you to think about what is just. Just means right. It means it conforms to God's standards. Not the world's standards, not what's cool, but God's standards, that it conforms to that. That's what it means to be just. And so in our parenting, we want to be just in our discipline. We want to be just in our direction for our kids. We want to conform not to the world's standards, but to say God's got a higher call for us. God's got something he wants to do in us. The next word is pure. Pure. I want you to think about what is pure, wholesome, not contaminated with anything corrupt. Pure. Isn't there a sweetness, ladies? Something pure. That their heart that's pure, a word that is pure. So he's building something for us. He says, I want you to think about things that are true, that are honorable, that are just, that are pure. It's a little bit like Galatians where it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, godliness, purity, excellence, love, joy, peace, patience. I can't remember them right now in front of thousands of people. Let me turn to them right here. Galatians, go electric. Here we go. It says this, that I say walk by the Spirit and certainly you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. It says, on it goes, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I've had that memorized for years and somehow I forgot it. You know now this is live. We are doing this right now in this place. Pure is a word that is so great, and it's a part of even that fruit of the Spirit. All these words meaning this, that God wants to do this through us. Who was the pure one? It was Jesus Christ. He was the pure one. And the pure one of Christ through us, he was the pure one. The way that we get these words out in our lives is that we let God do something great in us, and then the fruit of the Spirit comes forth in us. True, honorable, just, pure, and lovely. And lovely. It goes right along, right there. It's connected with that Galatians, with love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I got it on that one. And lovely is this one that we've got here with Philippians 8. Here's what loveliness means. Hear this, ladies, in particular. That which calls forth love. Think about that. It's like, wait, that's too simple. Lovely is that which calls forth love. If you think about it like this, angry is that which calls forth anger. Humility, have you ever been around a humble person? Humility calls forth humility in us. And so lovely calls forth love. And ladies, isn't that your greatest need where it says that a man should love his wife and a wife should respect her husband? That's your greatest need. That's something deep in your heart, to be loved. And I want to encourage you this, be lovely. And what happens is when you're lovely, it will call forth love to be coming out of other folks, your kids, your husband, your family, your friends, whatever it is. Let lovely call forth love. And then it gives us this last one. So cool that it gives us. This last one is commendable, is what it says. It says, I want you to be commendable, to think about the things that are commendable. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Some of your versions may say admirable. It's enhancing, it's constructive, it doesn't tear down. It's something that's constructive, it doesn't tear down. There's a scary verse for ladies and for moms that's found in Proverbs chapter 14, the first verse. And this is what it says. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. A wise woman builds her house. A foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Her own wants, maybe, her own selfishness, her own anger, her own ways of thinking, her own ways of responding, tears it down with her own hands. And this word commendable means, if you define it, admirable, enhancing, constructive, not tearing down, not tearing down. Now, here's what Paul does now with these words. He says, I want you to think about what is true. I want you to think about what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is commendable. And those six words are going to get wrapped up in these last two. Here's how he wraps it up. He wraps it up by saying this: if there's anything of moral excellence, and if there's anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. He's saying all six of these things fit into moral excellence or purity, and it fits into this, and I want this to connect here with these two words, a moral excellence and anything worthy of praise, to bring those things together. Amazing, amazing thought. And if we think about these things, then we're going to take the next step, or if we pray about these things, we're going to begin thinking about these things. And as we think about these things, we're going to be able to live these things. Christian knowledge always leads to the responsibility of Christian character. Hear that again. Christian knowledge always leads, is intended to lead, to the responsibility of Christian character. Christian character. It's been put like this: sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Sow a thought, is what we're talking about, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And so we want these things to come together. Moms, you show this in an amazing way. Absolutely amazing way. Moms, you model right thinking and leading us to live into right living. Moms, you model right thinking that leads to right living. What you show is you show to your kids, this is how you live. This is how you do your work. This is how you participate. Here's how you treat your father. Here's how you treat the employer. Here's how you treat your teacher, your administrator. Models are moms. Moms are models. Moms model right thinking that leads to right living. Right thinking that leads to right living. There's a story told of a mother that her little boy forgot the lines of the play, and she's sitting on the first or second row, and she's mouthing the lines of this play at church, and she keeps mouthing it. He'd forgotten the lines, and she's mouthing, I am the light of the world. That was his line. I am the light of the world. And the little boy looks down, and he says, my mother is the light of the world. That was his response. And I say, amen. Moms, you are the light of the world. You're the light of the home. And you model right thinking that leads to right living. Look at what Paul does in verse 9. Last thing, real quickly. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me. Remember in Corinthians, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. He says, do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Moms, isn't that a great verse if you could declare that to your kids? Do what you've learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Here's the deal. He gives us two verbs that go together, learned and received. It's one thing to learn. It's another thing to receive. And kids, I want you to know our greatest desire as parents is that you would own your own faith. It wouldn't be our faith as your parents. It'd be your faith. You would personalize and own your own faith. There's learning your faith, and that's what's happening around the home. And then there's receiving your faith, which is you living it out when you get outside the home. Then he says what you've heard and seen. What you've learned and received, and what you've heard and seen. Heard and seen equals integrity, that we're hearing it and we're living it. What we say and what we do match. And he says, if you do that, then you know what? You are going to have a place in your life that the God of peace is going to be with you. Right praying, right thinking, right living only can happen through the love of Jesus coming through us. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. And these same ones, it's fruit of the Spirit in a sense as well. True, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. Anything of moral excellence or worthy of praise. Moms and dads, let's be like that. Now, I want to shift gears. And I want us to celebrate something. We've been waiting for this moment on Mother's Day, for this very moment. We are a church, as you saw with Fill the Truck just earlier. We want to make a difference. We want to make an impact. Do you remember on Easter when we relieved the debt of about $2.5 million of medical debt for our debt for our veterans? We are so excited we were able to do that. I want to tell you something else that our generosity as a church has been able to do. A few years back, I had laid on my heart that we were going to be for something, not just against something. We're not for abortion. We are against abortion, but we wanted to be for something as well. So we're for adoption. And so we made a big step as a church. I stood up on this very stage and I said, guys, gals, today we're going to raise money to be able to help fund adoptions. And we were so excited about that. And that was like a little pebble that got rolling into this huge snowball. And I want you to celebrate with me where we are right now. So I want to bring out two ladies, two moms that are amazing, amazing ladies. One of them is my wife, Kelly Mott, that I'm going to bring out here with us. Amazing mom, amazing wife. And then the other is Tony Steer, an amazing mom as well. Tony is the head of our Legacy 685 that comes from Psalm 68:5, that God is a father to the fatherless. And she's in charge of our adoption ministry. And I wanted you to be here, Tony. We've been talking for a long time. I've been saying, tell me when. And now I wanted you to be here with me because here's where we are. And church, we're going to celebrate. We've hit a marker, a big time marker. That little pebble kept rolling. We have mobilized through our giving and matching funds. We have mobilized over $2 million for adoption. Absolutely incredible. You should be cheering right now at your house, cheering, being able to go along. It's going to get even better. We have helped adoption with 19 countries, from kids from 19 countries. And here's the thing. You ready, Tony? I know you're excited. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Okay, good, because this is big time. You've done this and all those around you, but you've been the tip of the spear on this. Church, are you ready? First time ever announced here on Mother's Day. I want you to know this. We have now hit the mark that we have been a part of funding 200 kids to be adopted. Yes and amen. All right, come on. I hope there's little like hearts flying up Facebook right now. I hope it's incredible what you're seeing. Here's what I want you to do as you're cheering, as you're liking, as you're loving, as you're commenting down below. Can you believe it? 200 kids, wow, 200 families, 200 lives. We got to be a part of that through our generosity. Absolutely incredible. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to show you a slideshow that you're going to see some of these faces. And I want you to lock in to those kids and those families and know that you are a part of it through our church. And then we're going to sit down right here and we're going to ask Toni a couple questions so that we can hear her heart and we can hear what God's done through this. So let's watch this slideshow together and let it touch your heart.
I know you've heard the story, but they all sound too good to be true. You've heard about a place called home, but there doesn't seem to be one for you. So one more night you cry yourself to sleep with the beat of a heart when love takes you home. And since you belong here, the loneliness ends and a new life begins when love takes you in. Somewhere while you're sleeping, someone else is dreaming too, counting down the days until they hold you close and say, I love you. And like the rain that falls into the sea, in a moment, what has been is lost in what will be when love takes you in.
Oh, man, seeing those faces, seeing those kids, it's just amazing. And church, we're a part of that. Is that incredible to think about on this Mother's Day? And as we sit here with Kelly and with Toni, Toni, tell us, I mean, how did your heart get moving in this adoptive way and to be an adoptive parent yourself?
Well, thank you for having me here. And yes, I was young and gave the Lord one small yes. I said yes to a short-term mission trip to Botswana, Africa, and spent a month in the desert and interacted with so many children who had no caregiver, who were being taken in by neighbors and strangers, even due to the HIV/AIDS crisis. And the Lord pricked my heart and began inviting me to be a part of their stories. And that led me to become a full-time missionary in Guatemala City, Guatemala, at a large orphanage. And I went as a teacher and ended up house parenting, as so often happens in those situations. You wear lots of hats. And our family grew by one unexpectedly on June 18th, 2001, when God brought us a tiny 4-pound baby. And he extended our hearts in ways that we did not know needed to be extended. And as I spent time with the Lord and time caring for this little one, the Lord revealed that that was something permanent. He was inviting me to be a part of this baby's story for life.
Wow. And now, how old's that 4-pound baby of yours?
Well, he's 19 and just finished his freshman year. So
19. That is so amazing and so great. And he's part of our church. I just love seeing him around. He's such a great, great guy. And so, man, so you're not only an adoptive parent, you're a single parent as well. And so this Mother's Day is so special, and to be able to have you and to celebrate 200 kids that we've been able to help fund with that, which is great. Well, we've got some just questions we want to ask you, and then we'll wrap up our time in just a couple moments. But Kelly, would you ask Tony a question or two?
Sure, yes. It's such a joy to be with you, and truly remarkable what God has done. Amazing to just hear your story and God's story just through your life. So just as you reflect on 200 plus adoption assistance awards given to families across the world through the generosity of our church. What are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, when I think about what God has done, there's the prophet reminds us that we should not despise small beginnings. And as Pastor Greg talked about, we started small with a big idea and some small funds that God has used immensely across the world. And so I think about the fact that there really is no asking without it first and foremost being about the faithfulness of God. And there isn't any giving without it first being first and foremost about the faithfulness of God. And there's no receiving without it being first and foremost about the faithfulness of God. And so I think about how we as a church body have played active roles in every part of this process for 200 children. And so those families who have heard God saying to their hearts, adoption is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to step into this child's story. Often they can look at the financial barriers and feel like it's impossible. And that's where we get to come alongside. And in the humility that it takes to expose your family, for those who have been through the adoption journey, you know, it is just very exposing. Every closet is looked in, every document is scoured. And so to expose those financial needs can be hard, but it gives God a chance to put his faithfulness on display. And in the giving and the receiving, again, we get to move toward God in his faithfulness.
Ah, that's incredible. Well, he is so faithful and so strong. And it's just, you know, you see just like our verse, Psalm 68:5, that he is a father to the fatherless. And, you know, we'd see in James, you know, this is pure and undefiled religion, that we would love the orphan and the widow. And so it's just a great thing. You know, you've been on this journey and leading this journey, and we're so grateful with many other families in our church and many other folks, and we are so grateful for them as well.
Yes.
You know, I know a bunch of you really well, and thanks for all that you've done as well. What have been some surprises that you've seen along the way with this journey?
Well, I think specifically when we think about the Adoption Assistance Fund, it would be really easy to look at all of the needs coming in and to become anxietized about, will there be enough? It would be really easy to try and control it or micromanage it, or even to try and grow it. And if there's anything that we have learned as a team over the last 12 years, it is that God is faithful and we can't outgive him. There's just no way to outgive him. I'll never forget Steve Klein coming down after talking with Pastor Greg and saying, okay, I think we're going to up our grants. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, let's give it away in big clumps. Let's give away big grants. And I thought, wow, okay, well, we've got lots of needs. I hope it lasts. And so we did. We started giving it away in double, triple what we had originally been doing. And one of the most beautiful things that our staff and our team get to see is we will literally watch a petition come in. We'll look at the grant size. We'll vote, pray on the grant size. And before we send that grant off, the Lord sends the funds right back, if not in excess, to the fund. You can't outgive God. He is so generous, and he is the father to the fatherless, and he sets children and family. And so for him, these finances are not insurmountable. They're provided for at the yes.
They sure are. That's amazing. So good.
Wow. Just amazing. God has shown himself to you and revealed himself in such a powerful way. And just what an amazing experience that must be. So what would you like us to know? What do you want us to know as we end this time, just about Legacy 685? What do you want us to know?
Well, adoption is not just about a family wrapping around a child. It's about the Big C Church wrapping around a family who chooses to wrap their lives around a child. this is what this ministry is about, and this is what you've been a part of. You have truly made a difference in the life of 200 plus children and over 160 families. It's transformational for these children. And so I want us as a church, I want you as a church to know that you have truly made a difference in wrapping around families as they wrap around children. Also want you to know that it doesn't end with the fund. That's our on-ramp. And so as a church, we get to connect families with funds, yes, but we get to connect families with families in gatherings and support groups. We get to equip them for the unique journey. And one of the things that we love most is that we get to come around them. As Aaron and Ur did for Moses in Exodus 17, we get to hold their arms up throughout the healing and connection journey as these families learn together what it means to be a forever family. And so I want to thank you for choosing to not just fund, but to wrap around families as they wrap around children.
So good. Well, I'm blown away by all we do with our classes, drawing people in. We've got a program, how we lead people forth. And, you know, when I've seen all of that, I'm just always blown away. And glory to God on what he has done and the faithfulness of God and the ways the Lord has used this ministry. Yes. It's incredible to think about. You know, we just had something on our heart years ago, and we're like, what if we do this? And we took up a special offering that day, and it came in, and we gave that seed, and then we just started giving it away over and over and over. And I tell you, a generous church is an impactful church, and to be able to see how God has done that is so great. And I love, you know, on this Mother's Day, we've got a robust single parent ministry. We've got a robust special needs ministry. We've got a robust adoption ministry. We've got robust at every campus of children and youth and students. I mean, you know, it's so great. But I love this one in particular because we have been adopted by Christ. Yes. We're all adopted children in Jesus. And so it's so great. So thank you for all that you've done. Thank you, church, for all your giving. And on this Mother's Day, we just wanted to celebrate this. 200 kids. I can't believe it. It's so amazing to see just an idea, a seed from the Lord, blossom into something really great. Well, thank you, Tony. Kelly, would you pray for us and close our time together, and then I'll wrap us up, and we're not done yet. We're going to have another song of worship, so don't go anywhere. But Kelly's going to pray for us. I'm going to give us a little bit of leadership, and then we're going to worship together in this time on this Mother's Day. So Kelly, pray for us.
Yes, Father God, we thank you so, so much. God, we praise you, for you are faithful. We praise you for your faithfulness, as we have just heard, God. And we give you all the glory, God, all the glory. We thank you so much, God, for Toni. God, thank you for her heart, God. Thank you for your heart through her life that just glorifies you. Thank you for Legacy 685 and all the miracles that you have done. God, you have done so, so much. God, we thank you, Jesus, for the generosity of our church. What a blessing to get to be a part of that. Such amazing, so wonderful. God, I thank you for the children and for the families that have been impacted by this ministry. God, continue, Lord Jesus, to just provide for every need. Lord, would you just make a way where there is no way? God, we love you. There's none like you. And we just get to see your glory on display in these ways. And we're so thankful, God. God, I just pray on this Mother's Day for all the women of our church. Jesus, I just pray, God, that we would rest in our relationship with you. God, that we would celebrate our own adoption into the family of God by grace through faith in Christ alone. God, thank you, Jesus. It's an amazing reality. It's an amazing reality. May we rest in that today and all the days of our life. Jesus, we love you, God. We thank you. We thank you so much, God. I just pray, Jesus, that you would fill us with your love so that we could love others well. We give you all the praise and glory. It's in your mighty name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.